It's the final week of the legislative session, and that means Alabama lawmakers are scrambling to get through bills that are still pending. One of those bills would tweak the immigration law by preventing school officials from asking children about their parents' place of birth or immigration status. Still, the Justice Department is concerned about the law's effect on Latino students. Joining us to talk about that and more is WBHM's Southern Education Desk reporter Dan Carson. Dan, what exactly did the federal officials say?
Well, the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ has been concerned for a while about increased absenteeism, withdrawals, and even harassment of Latino students here, the vast majority of whom are legal, by the way. But things heated up again last week when the DOJ sent the State Department of Education a letter warning that the immigration law has had lasting and possibly illegal effects on those students. That includes a roughly 13% increase in withdrawals in the months after the law passed, while that number for other ethnic groups pretty much stayed flat.
Hasn't the section of the law that deals with schools been blocked in the courts?
It has, but enrollment and absence data provided by the state itself seems to show that perception is more important than what's actually on the books. And as we speak, the legislature may be changing what's actually on the books.
Well, state schools chief Tommy Bice, of course, says schools have taken steps to prevent the law from driving away minority students. This isn't the only thing that Bice is busy with these days. He's also got the investigation of potential dysfunction at the Birmingham School Board. And he's also beating the drum on school achievement statewide.
True. Besides very publicly pointing out that many people assume Alabama schools rank lower than they actually do, Superintendent Bice is now pushing for a total overhaul of the way Alabama's K-12 students are tested under the federal No Child Left Behind law. It's complicated, but in an oversimplified nutshell, he says the standards actually need to be raised in many ways, including higher minimum passing scores, assessment starting in kindergarten as opposed to third grade, and more parts to the various tests, meaning not just filling in multiple choice bubbles.
Okay, Dan, anytime you get into standardized testing, you're bound to ruffle feathers. There are probably some federal variables in this equation, too.
Exactly. And this comes as Alabama's considering asking the federal DOE for a special exemption freezing the NCLB criteria at current levels, as opposed to the 100% student proficiency requirement that takes effect for reading and math in 2014. But by then, depending on what happens with national politics, the NCLB law itself could be changed.
Okay, I'm confused. You got to explain this to me. So Bice is saying on the one hand, he wants tougher criteria. But on the other hand, the state also wants to freeze the current criteria because expecting 100% student proficiency is unrealistic and too tough. These two things seem at odds.
Yeah, they really do, don't they? But when you look at all the particulars, it actually does make sense. Under NCLB in 2014, schools will be considered failing if less than 100% of students pass those state tests. Now, that includes special education students, by the way. Now, of course, there's no way all 100% of kids are going to make the grade on all of their standardized tests, unless cheating or some other shenanigans are involved.
Okay, so he's essentially saying we don't want 100% to have to pass it, but we want students to generally have to do much better.
Exactly. Partly because of what NCLB demands, systems across the country have made it easier to pass these various tests. And as a result, in Alabama, for example, many kids are passing the standardized tests, but when they come up against, say, the ACT exam or college-level work demands, it turns out they're unprepared.
Got it. Okay. Well, as we said at the beginning of the conversation, we're in the final days of the Alabama legislative session. What's happening with the charter school bill?
Okay, I think I need to preface everything with as of now. So as of now, and grossly oversimplified, there's a watered-down charter bill that's passed the state Senate and a not-so-watered-down version coming into the House, and obviously there's no bill yet. The full legislature has, however, passed a bill effectively setting a minimum length on summer vacation.
This one's interesting to me. That bill increases summer vacation time at a time when many other states and certainly education professionals are saying we should probably be going the other way, spending more time in school. What gives?
Well, even though summer break itself is a holdover from farming, the bill has a lot of backers in the hotel and other tourism industries. Supporters say the increased tourism would actually boost revenue that goes back to the schools. But number crunchers in the legislative fiscal office have notably not signed off on that claim. Now, some educators are also concerned about summer learning loss, which, of course, affects the kids who don't have summer enrichment opportunities, and those are the kids who aren't heading down to Gulf Shores in the summer.
So where does the bill stand right now?
Well, Governor Bentley has expressed some reservations about laws that take flexibility away from local districts, so he could very well veto it. We'll just have to wait and see on that one.
Okay, we're almost out of time. What have you got for us in positive news this week?
Well, actually, there are a lot of positive education stories this week. I'm going to have to hit you rapid-fire style.
Shoot.
Okay, right here in Birmingham. Senior Rakesh Goli at the Altamont School was named a Presidential Scholar by the U.S. Department of Education. Megan Hunsinger, who lives in Vestavia Hills, also earned that honor. Phillips Academy 8th grader Talia Moore took second place in a national documentary contest put on by C-SPAN for her short film Birmingham and the First Amendment. Now, down in Hoover, Greystone Elementary 5th grader Riley Randolph was named a national finalist in Google's Logo Redesign Art Contest. And Spain Park junior Kevin Yang won his quarterfinal round in Jeopardy's teen tournament. The semifinals are airing through tomorrow, by the way. And finally, last but definitely not least, right here at UAB, biochemistry and molecular genetics professor and cancer researcher Louise Chow has been elected to the National Academy of Sciences.
Wow, so quite a age range and people accomplishing some pretty great things. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Tanya.
That was Southern Education Desk reporter Dan Carson talking about some of what's happening on the education beat. All of Dan's interviews and stories are available on our website, wbhm.org.